Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. It is hour number two. We got that five box going here because we're going to make some football picks. Tommy Caster's in. I'm in. Jacob Albrecht. Paul Savage is in. Brandon Zinner. TJ Cleland of 12 News are in. And we are ready to roll after a week. Jad, how did we look last week? How did we fare?
I know we got the standings pulled up, so we just need to kind of look. I know Jad's got the list of how everything panned out. Let me pull that up and I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, we'll get the standings after we pick here. So, look, we're gonna take this. We got six games. We're gonna see if we can get six in. We did five last week, and we'll start with college, and we'll jump right into it because it takes a minute to get the breakdowns on these games. K-State's at Tulane. Tulane is +9 at home. The line has moved just a little bit. You know, it started at around 10, so it means some money's going to Tulane. Brandon, we'll start with you this week. K-State, Tulane, what do you have?
The Cats were on offense last week and just 43 snaps for Avery. They still put up 34 points, and that was with the pick. They still had to settle for a couple field goals. But I think just with another week in the system, another week under their belt, the offense will be able to roll. I love what the defense did in week one. 9 points on the road. Feels like the Cats are ready to go make a statement before a huge home game under the lights next week in Arizona. Give me the Cats and the points.
All right, TJ, what do you think? You'd lay in that big number? They didn't cover it last week.
Yeah, I don't know. 9 stresses me out a little bit. 10 stressed me out more, obviously. You know, at Tulane, it's going to be like 95 degrees in front of a crowd that's been in Bourbon Street all morning getting ready for a Tulane game probably. It's a great Tulane team. I know Willie Fritz isn't there anymore, but still one of the better Group of Five teams. It's kind of scary. I'm going to probably be in the minority here, but just on the side of caution, I'm going to say Cats will win. Cats aren't going to cover.
Okay. Paul? What are you thinking here on K-State? Can they open things up? Did we see everything from K-State last week, or is there a whole lot more left in the tank?
Well, there's more. There's going to be more in the tank. I don't think there's any question about that. But here's the thing: I was the only one that took UT Martin last week. I'll tell you what: it was such great hindsight on my part to be able to scope that thing out and to give 36 points and win by 35. You know, that's great skill, Tommy. I mean, Tommy was telling me
how you're clearly a savant, Paul.
Yeah, I walked into the studio and Tommy's telling me just how great I am, and I appreciate that about you, Tommy. I really do. Thank you. Tommy, don't do that. Huh? Yeah. But anyway,
Tommy.
Anyway,
that's weren't going to score a special teams touchdown last week. They did that and still didn't cover.
Right. That's right. Yeah, that just makes my pick even better. Actually, it makes my pick even luckier if I'm going to be honest. But yeah. With that being said, I think you got, well, other than TJ, because I know how this is going to go, Tommy and Jacob are going to take the Cats, but you guys are sleeping on Tulane. I think you guys are sleeping on Tulane. That's not a bad football team. I'm taking Tulane, and I'll take the 9 points right along with my good buddy TJ.
Okay. All right, we'll leave it at that. Tommy, you got K-State here or Tulane. You going to lay those points?
The 9 points makes me pretty nervous. I'm kind of thinking along the same lines that TJ is thinking. And I really
not me?
Well, you too. I went into this this pick thinking kind of like it would be the minority to pick Tulane and take the points. But I'm going to take Tulane and pick the points. On top of that, guys, honestly, I don't think the Wildcats will lose this game, but I wouldn't be overly shocked if Tulane came up and found a way to win the football game. I know that it's a brand new era with Willie Fritz gone down there, but they're a really solid team. 9 points is a lot. And here's the other thing about it. I know that offensively the Wildcats last week against UT Martin didn't really have what they needed, you know, to be able to, get it going. But at the same time, I'm not sure that it's going to all come together for the Wildcats in week number two. I think it's going to take a little bit more time for the Avery Johnson to get accustomed to things. So it wouldn't shock me if Tulane actually wins this game, but I'm going to take Tulane and take the points.
I'm going to take K-State. I want to just sit here and say Klieman did it again, was way too conservative in the opener, and that's why everything looked a little sluggish. And this week against Tulane, especially Tulane, he's not going to do that again. So I will lay the points. I'll lay the nine.
Hey, by the way, and I forgot to mention this, it's been a few years since the Wildcats have finished a non-conference schedule at 3-0. They've dropped a non-conference game every year in the last, three or four years. So, I don't want that trend to continue for the Wildcats, but it wouldn't shock me if it did.
It's a big chance for them. I'm going to lay those points. I'm going to do it with K-State. I think they were just playing conservative last week. All right, KU, Illinois. I can start this one here. Illinois, first sellout in a long time. They're really excited. The money has moved to Illinois, I believe, because what started at 5.5 is now 4.5 as of last check this morning. So we're picking it at 4.5. That makes me feel better about KU, honestly, that people are maybe overlooking them just a little bit. I'm going to take KU. I feel probably a little bit better about this one than the K-State. I'm not going to try and tell you I know a dang thing about Illinois football. But I know KU football, and I know Jalen Daniels looks right now like he's fully ready to go. That offense is going to be hard to stop. Hard to stop. I'm going to take KU. I'm going to lay the points. Brandon, what do you think?
Doing this spot. Now, although the 4.5 number is scary because that leaves us open to a touchdown or a field goal that could go from 7 or 11 to 4 in the last minute or so. But yeah, KU's ability to run the ball, if they ran for almost 300 yards last year, just the way that they have so many offensive weapons, the way their deep plays. If Melo Dotson, he just had another pick six last week. Who knows what he's going to be able to do? And Kobe Bryant, give me KU 4.5.
TJ?
I think this one actually started at 6.5, Jacob, and has moved all the way to 4.5. So that, if that says anything about how much the money's on Illinois in this one, I was pretty skeptical about 6.5. Now that it's moved down a little bit, I think I'm in the same boat as you, is that KU's maybe getting overlooked a little bit. I'm going to go with the Jayhawks on this one just for the fact of how high powered that offense is. Kind of the same thing I said last week. I just think it's going to be a shootout in my eyes based on how I've seen KU play, and I think that they can cover that number.
Tommy, isn't it strange a little bit that when we see Jalen Daniels come out and look right, look healthy, that doesn't inspire confidence in the Jayhawks, but it seems like there is a little wavering from them. Maybe it's a tip of the cap to Illinois. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it is more about Illinois than it is about Kansas. And, they are for sure getting up for this game after they visited Lawrence a year ago. Really, the biggest thing in that game last year that the Jayhawks struggled with was containing the run from their quarterback, Luke Altmyer. And that's going to be the name of the game, the recipe for success for the Fighting Illini tomorrow, is if they can get that quarterback scrambling and some designed runs and things like that, that may ultimately help Illinois quite a bit. However, I think the Kansas defense is even better this year than they were a year ago, and that was the main Achilles heel a season ago for the Jayhawks. I think they will find ways to make that less of an issue this year. So I'm going to go with you guys also, with both Brandon and TJ. I'll take the Jayhawks, and I'm going to lay those points.
Paul?
Wow.
Wow us.
Wow.
Here.
I'll tell you what. You guys are like giving me a gift. Now I was going to go KU, and I thought this was a fairly simple pick. Now, on the other hand, Tommy, what do we know about KU from Linwood? Practically nothing. Really, not a whole lot. We don't know a lot. We know there's some good athletes, but we knew that to start with. So not knowing near what we know, but we will know a little bit about KU after Saturday.
After this game, yeah.
And we will know a little bit about them at that point. So with that being said, I think KU probably has a wonderful chance of covering that 4.5. But seeing as that Tommy and I are in the lead and I have some picks that I can spare, I can gamble with, this is called gambling, Jacob, I think I'm going to go ahead and take Illinois. I'm on an island. I don't think, Tommy, that this is a bad island to be on. What do you think?
Yeah.
I don't. It's not a terrible island. I mean, it's not a bad island. It's not a bunch of points, so it's not just a terrible island.
But, you know, we don't know a lot about Lindenwood. What does that tell us about KU? You don't know anything about Eastern Illinois. So what do you know about Illinois? You know, like, we don't know anything about any of these teams.
Good point.
Anybody's playing
well
in week
said.
One.
Well,
like, it's wild. Here's one that is interesting, though, our third college pick, where the bettors certainly think that they learned something. Texas at Michigan. You want to talk about line movement. Our betting insider PJ Glasser brought it up. It's one of the biggest, like, single week line moves he can recall, because Michigan looked like crap. Texas looked really good. And now all of a sudden, Texas is on the road laying 7 points. TJ, I'll let you start us off here. It's a wild swing.
Yeah, this is going to be a really interesting one. You know, I think the Texas is full of talent. Quinn Ewers is awesome. And then just watching that Michigan game, you know, it wasn't that it was just no Harbaugh there and no J.J. McCarthy, no Blake Corum. They didn't look great. You know, it was kind of a sloppy brand of Michigan football of what we're used to seeing. It was still great football. But, you know, what they did against Fresno State is definitely not inspiring. What Texas did definitely was a lot more inspiring. So I'm going to go with the Longhorns on the road here in Ann Arbor. Just a lot of talent on that team.
Brandon, are you buying this swing? It is strange to see. You bet games. Like, we don't see this very often from week to week. I know it's the first week, and maybe we start to see it more with the transfer portal, but that is bizarre to see that line move that much.
Who says I bet games well, Jacob? I mean,
I just said you bet games. I didn't say
week one. It is wild to see. I am going to take Michigan and the points, just in the thoughts of Michigan's defense to be able to keep this low scoring enough. It's a low total in the low 40s. If they can just keep this close enough, keep it within 7, you're going to give me in the big house, 11 a.m. kick, a lot of things on the line for an early non-con game. Keep a low scoring Wolverines and Sherrone Moore, and give me the 7.
All right, Brandon's taking the 7. I'm going to join Brandon with that. Just, I think Texas is better than Michigan. I'm not laying 7 points on the road to the defending national champions. I'm just not going to do it. Not really in any scenario that I can. Not after 1 week, I guess. You know, down the road, maybe. These are defending. I know they got a lot and they lost their coach and they're dealing with it, but 7 points at home to the defending national champions who are there every year. I just can't do it. I'll take the points and I'll take Michigan. Tommy?
Man, I'm historically always skeptical of Texas. I always have been. But it's really difficult to be skeptical of them based off of what we saw a week ago. And I know they played Colorado State, but just the way that Quinn Ewers really was able to open up that offense. And I think, honestly, unlike really anything else we've seen from him in his time at Texas, it kind of seems to me that Ewers and Steve Sarkisian have finally figured out exactly the best way to make that offense work. I think you're going to see a ton of RPOs tomorrow. I think you're going to see Ewers, you know, be able to, you know, carry the ball, hold on to it if needed. But then that's going to also open up the deep ball too. It's nothing against Michigan, but they are depleted compared to the national championship team a year ago, and they didn't necessarily look dominant last week. So because of that, I know it's in Ann Arbor, but I'm going to take the Longhorns, and I'll lay those points. I think that they look good, and I think maybe for the first time ever, I'm a believer in what the Longhorns are doing.
Paul, I would love to see Texas go in there and beat them by 40. The question is, can they? Did you see enough from Michigan, I think, is the bigger question, Paul, to take you off of them completely? Because that's pretty much what we're doing here, is that they're just not going to be that good this year. Are you there yet, or what are you doing with this one?
Well, it's not what I saw in Michigan when I watched a bunch of that Fresno State. I was fascinated with that game. I watched a bunch of the Fresno State-Michigan game, and it's what I didn't see. It's what I didn't see. What I didn't see was a dominating football team that we're normally used to seeing when it comes to Michigan. Michigan has made its bones all the way from Sid Luckman, when Sid Luckman was playing at Michigan back in the 20s. I can tell you right now, that was a physical football team.
Who?
When you were back when you were in high school.
He went to Columbia. Never mind. Not him.
No, I've never heard of that person before.
Well, he's in the NFL Football Hall of Fame. Thank you very
much.
From
the 1920s?
Yeah. So anyway, well, that's when he was in college. And he was. He didn't go to Michigan. I was thinking of someone else. Now I'm having a.
Did they have the forward pass legalized?
Yes,
Paul, who are you? Are you taking Texas?
Come on.
I'm just telling you guys, this is really the easiest Nate's pick. I can't believe two of you guys, I really can't believe two of you guys took Michigan. I'm taking Texas. And listen, this could be a 21-point game. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with Michigan, and I think it starts with the head coach, Tommy. I think Michigan has problems, and it all stems from the problems they've had. This head coach does not seem to be a strong figure to me, a commanding figure to me. I think there's problems inside Ann Arbor as we speak. I've taken Texas. This is the easiest pick of the week, boys.
By the way, hey, can I just say really quick, you know, listeners, they come here for the football talk, but they stay here for the history lessons.
Yeah, that's right. Even if they're incorrect, we're there anyway. All right, Green Bay at Philadelphia. That is the game tonight. Eagles, as we switch to the NFL, are 2.5-point favorites against the Packers. I think this one's probably going to be as entertaining as last night's game was. TJ, in a potential NFC Championship preview, where are you going with this one?
Yeah, I don't know, but I feel like whichever one I pick is going to be wrong because this is going to be a great game. So I'm going to go with the Eagles, though, 2.5 points covering that. I'm so excited to watch Saquon Barkley in this offense, what they're going to do, what that's going to do with Jalen Hurts' run game to complement that run game. A.J. Brown's going to, you know, get more looks because of the run game, having to complementary football is the name of the game. I'm going to pick the Eagles.
Brandon?
Eagles, I'd be on Green Bay if this was 3.5. I think it's going to be right there, a 3-point game. Philadelphia just has too many weapons. They kind of reloaded and trying to bounce back from some bad vibes to end last year. Give me Philadelphia in a neutral side game.
All right, Tommy, what do you think? They're playing in Brazil.
Yeah, and because of that, I think in real life, I'm probably going to stay away from betting the spread in general, just because you have no idea you're playing in Brazil. So I'm probably, with my real money, not going to bet the actual spread. I might do some player props and things like that. But you just don't know when you're, you know, nobody's ever played in Brazil before. So to me, that makes it too tricky. But, it, you know, in picking this game, I'm going to take the Packers. I'm going to take those points. I like Green Bay. I like Jordan Love. I think that they are a dark horse in the conference to, you know, to be really good. And honestly, everybody pays attention to the Lions, and deservedly so. And the Lions were my pick to represent the conference in the Super Bowl. But, you know, don't sleep on the Packers. I think they'll be a playoff team also. On the flip side, I'm not a believer in Nick Sirianni. I know that the Eagles have a bunch of weapons, but Sirianni lost that team at the end of last year and almost lost his job.
Yeah,
and so right. I'm not exactly sure that he's got what it takes to be able to get that collection of talent back to where they should be. So because of that, I'm going to take the Packers and I'll take the points.
Savage, who you got on this one? No islands available.
Oh, no islands. But here's what I'm going to do, though. Normally, I take a game because of what I think I know. On this game, I'm going to go with Philadelphia because of what I don't know, and that's of Jalen Love. I'm still not sure.
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love or Jalen Hurts?
Boy, I've got that one mixed up, too. But there's a lot about this game I don't know with the Green Bay Packers. I've got questions on this team, starting with the quarterback, going to the defense. I've got a couple questions. What I don't know makes me pick Philadelphia. Tommy's point about the end of last year, it was almost a disaster. We were watching a disaster happen in front of our eyes. But I still have question marks about the quarterback position. How do you like that with Green Bay? I'm going to go ahead and take Philadelphia. I'm not happy about it, guys, but I think it's a better pick.
I love the game. You got two new running backs. It's not just Saquon Barkley. Josh Jacobs is new in that offense, too, in Green Bay. They don't have Aaron Jones, who's been such a big part of what they do. I don't think there's a team with more to prove in the NFL, especially in week one, than Philadelphia. I'm going to take the Eagles also. If they don't come out right in this game, it's going to be weird quickly in Philadelphia. But I think that they will. They've got a new offensive coordinator there. That was a disaster after they lost their offensive coordinator from 2 years ago. So I think the Eagles have just done a whole lot to get a whole lot better again in this offseason. And I think they already were one of the more talented teams in football. So I'll take them over Green Bay.
Do I get an island there? Is that my island?
You got an island.
Let's
Tommy go.
Got an
Tommy, island. Congratulations. Right. That's what he's been shooting for.
All right, second NFL game. We got two more NFL games to go here. Let's go Rams at Lions. That was a great playoff game a year ago. Lions, a home game for them on Sunday Night Football. 3.5-point favorites. This one I think will have a chance to be a clean sweep. I'll start it. I'll take the Lions minus 3.5 here. I the Rams are a great story, and they do have Nacua and Kupp healthy. So, I mean, that's dangerous. There's no doubt about it. But the Lions are loaded. They're built for this. They're at home. I think they can cover the number. I just think they're a better team. 3.5. I wish it was under the 3. I wish that hook wasn't there, but it is. I'm still comfortable with it. I'll lay the 3.5 and take the Lions. Brandon?
MC's going to grow as the season goes along. They have to replace Aaron Donald. They got some more growth to do on defense. I love the Lions in this spot. Home, night game. It's a Sunday night game. I think this is one, if you're gambling, this has potential to be some alt spreads in play. Give me the Lions at home.
Something interesting about the Lions this year, too. Jared Goff plays like 14 of his games indoors. We all know about that indoor-outdoor split. The schedule is set up beautifully for the Lions, almost like don't screw it up kind of a deal. Tommy, do they screw it up in week one? You go in Rams, you go in Lions.
I would love to take the Rams. I think that they've got a tremendous amount of talent that, really is not being talked about in that division, primarily because the 49ers have been the class of the NFC West for so long. But it wasn't that long ago that the Rams were right there, you know, and with Kyren Williams kind of establishing himself as the premier running back for the Rams. Of course, they draft Blake Corum, too. You mentioned Nacua and Cooper Kupp. I think the biggest question mark, though, for the Rams, and the reason why I can't take them is because we don't know what the Rams defense post Aaron Donald looks like. That's a concern for me. I don't know how they rebuild that when you've got such a game wrecker that is no longer in the league. So because of that, and I think the Lions are much more of a proven commodity, and they're at home, and that helps out a lot. I have to take Detroit, and I have to lay the points.
TJ, what do you think on this one? You comfortable with the Lions at 3.5?
I am. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I think that the momentum that the Lions have is awesome. I think that they've kind of got a home field advantage now that they've never had before of all the excitement that's in Detroit. I don't think Matthew Stafford's going to do it in Detroit this time. I'm going to go with another Jared Goff win over the Rams.
I strategically put Paul last here to tempt him with this island. Paul, you got a chance at an island if you take the Rams. Are you going to take it?
Here's the thing. Ever since Hard Knocks, Detroit Lions, you remember I would sing the praises of Dan Campbell? Do you remember I'd come in and do a show? Guys, I just watched another episode of Hard Knocks. How much did I love Dan Campbell?
Paul, we'd be talking about badminton, and you would bring up Dan Campbell and Hard Knocks.
That's it. So I can't do it. These are my guys. Dan Campbell's my guy. You know, he's old school. He's everything that I respect about a football coach. He's kind of like me. I think I'm like him. So I can't do it. I can't take it. As much as I want to take this island, I can't do it to my boy Dan.
I'll bet you this is the most lopsided public money bet of the week. People are on the Lions, which means trouble for all of us. Jets at Niners. This one should be awesome. TJ, you can start us. Niners, we're going to do it at 4 points. Niners, 4-point favorites at home with Aaron Rodgers. We think finally playing football.
Yeah, I'm super high on this Jets team. I've been talking about them a lot. If Aaron Rodgers can, as I said a couple weeks ago, if Aaron Rodgers can just be better than Zach Wilson, I think that they're going to be a really good football team. I think that's going to start week one. I think they can cover this number. I think they could go out and win it. It'd be awesome. But I think that they can cover this number.
All right, Paul, you good with 4 points? Or are you taking Aaron Rodgers and the Jets story? Brees the Beast there, set up for what should be his best year as a pro. What are you thinking on this one?
Well, there's a lot that you can certainly make for a case to take the Jets and get the 3.5. There's no question that that's the case. But the 49ers just got so many weapons. Their ability to run the football with Christian McCaffrey is the difference in this game. Shoot, that will be the difference in a bunch of games. The ability to run the football with Christian McCaffrey, that's something that teams just don't have. With that being said, because of that, playing at home, making the Jets travel across the country, which I guess is really no big deal anymore, but the fact is that the Jets are at home and they're giving 3.5. I'd be more comfortable if it was 3. But on the other hand, 3.5 is still doable. I'm going to take the 49ers. They're going to be able to run the football. Listen, they're going to have 180 yards rushing total before it's all said and done, and that'll be enough to control the line of scrimmage, control the clock, and can control the overall dimensions of this football game. I guess I like the 49ers a lot.
Tommy, what do you think here? McCaffrey now has an Achilles added to his calf. That's what everybody fears with a calf injury. I have some concern at his availability and if he's 100%, but that's a factor here. 4-point line, what are you taking?
It's less about the 49ers for me, and it's more about the Jets. I have to see it to believe it with the Jets, and it could very well be that they prove it this weekend. And then at that point, I will probably jump on the bandwagon, I'm guessing, because I know that on paper, a tremendous amount of talent. They don't really have a whole lot of holes, especially defensively, and with Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, all of that. It's just really Aaron Rodgers and really what it looks like for him leading this team and coming back. I have to see it to believe it for them, so I can't in good faith pick them. I'm going to have to take the 49ers and lay the points. If the Jets prove me wrong in week one, then, hey, it's going to be a different conversation. But right now, it's the Niners.
Brandon, I don't. We all want to see Breece Hall ball out. We all want to see what Aaron Rodgers and that offense can do. I was surprised this number wasn't bigger. Now I don't know what to do with it. Where are you at with it?
Hoping Tommy was going to go with the Jets so I could have the potential for a 49ers island there. But I'm going to have to go with the Jets. And this is just strictly vibes are not good in San Francisco. You have the holdout with Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, who didn't even practice all offseason until Wednesday. There's just bad vibes right now in San Francisco. I like the talent that the Jets have. I think they're going to be playing on divisional weekend at the minimum. Come playoff time, give me the Jets and the points on the road.
Yeah, yesterday I asked about this one with our betting insider, and my gut was to the Niners. And the more I think about it, I'm with you. There has to be some penalty for all the contract disputes, for the injury to CMC, all of these things. An insanely motivated Aaron Rodgers. I think Breece Hall is so good. I think Garrett Wilson is so good. And I think that Jets defense is so good. I'll take the Jets too, just with the points, just because San Francisco has enough unknowns. 4 points gets on the right side of a field goal. So I'm going to take the points too. That changed on me in the last 24 hours. There's no doubt about it. That's our pick. So Jad, where do we stand coming into this?
Well, coming into this right now, it's we've got two in the lead. It's Tommy and Paul in the lead, 3-2.
Let's go.
I kind of like the way that sounds.
Yeah. So Tommy and Paul have the lead. Brandon, Jacob, you guys went 2-3. TJ, sorry, 1-4 last week.
TJ's got a little work to do.
Hey, I got the USC island, though. It saved me.
Well, it did. That was our stone cold lock of the week for everybody too. So goes to show you.
TJ, call me if you want a couple of tips before we do this next Friday. Give me a call. It'll be okay. I won't tell anybody. Okay.
Okay.
Speaking of TJ, we're gonna have TJ stick around to preview. We've got a Catch at Kansas Friday. The high school football season is back. TJ will take us through a couple of the games that you'll see covered in depth tonight on 12 News for Catch It Kansas and catchitkansas.com. That's next as we roll forward. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here at the KFH studios. We'll come back more sports daily, a little high school football preview with TJ Cleland and Catch It Kansas next.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Set up our second giveaway here, our HTO Text to Win contest. You can enter by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. The fall drinks are out. New Apple Crisp Dirty Chai or Butter Pecan Mocha available at HTO. You'll get a free coffee card and then, of course, a free iced tea card. More than 20 flavors of the iced tea, bread and butter there at HTO. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, that's T to 20357. Good luck, everybody. All right, we come back, and it is a Catch at Kansas Friday. It is the first Catch at Kansas Friday of the high school football season. Right now at catchkansas.com, all the preview content you could ever hope for. You've got previews of every classification from 6A all the way down to 8-man. You've got all the countdown to kickoffs, which are preview spots for each team that we went out and met up at camp. TJ Cleland's been leading the charge on that. And it is a game day, TJ. It's here. It's awesome. What's your favorite game of the day? Let's just start right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously college football season being back is a ton of fun. The NFL being back is a ton of fun. But whenever you're out there on the sidelines covering the really big high school football games, watching dudes that are going to be playing college football, if you get a really good one, it doesn't get much better than that and being right there on the action, I think. Best game of the day, in my opinion, or game of the week, is Andover Central at Hutchinson in this one. 4A versus 5A matchup. Andover Central has been to the state championship and lost, I think, 3 of the last 5 years, if I'm correct. They're runner-up 3 of the last 5 years. They want this one so bad, and the good news for them, they return pretty much 100% of their offensive production from last year and a ton of their defensive production as well. So a lot of guys are back on that team. They're going to be a really, really good team in Class 4A. Hutchinson, a team that is always kind of competing in 5A. Mike Vernon's kind of got them going there. They lost a little bit of talent last year, but they returned one of the best players on both sides of the ball. Terrell King is going to be a dude that we'll be seeing. I think he just got a Hutch offer, a hometown offer. I saw that, but he's going to be playing somewhere on Saturdays. I don't know where it's going to be, but he's good.
TJ, I definitely, it just is known at this point that, you know, the three things guaranteed in life are death, taxes, and derby football. I mean, that's just kind of the way that it always is. And even with turnover, I mean, they just continue, you know, to churn out really great players and really great programs. And this year will be no exception. With Braxton Clark graduated and moved on, they're going to have a new face under center. But it does look like, again, that they're going to be the team to beat in 6A. And I know that, you know, it starts off you know, tough for them right out of the gate. What's your expectations for this Derby Panthers program?
Yeah, you know, since I've been here, I got here the very tail end of the Dylan Edwards era Derby and watched all that talent they had on that team. You know, last year didn't feel like the same Derby team. It was obviously a ton of talent. They ended up kind of surprising us down the stretch and being one of the better teams in Class 6A because Coach Clark says the best every time you talk to him for one of these season previews. He says, they're new faces to you guys. They're not new faces to us. They've been running the same thing their entire lives. They've been in the weight room since they were third graders, probably something like that. So they've been waiting their chance, and that's the way it works at Derby. You have to wait your chance and then finally get to be a part and share a little bit of the sugar there on Friday nights. This team, though, I think it might be one of the best Derby teams that I've seen in the past couple of years. You know, obviously they don't have Dylan Edwards, but when you look at sheer talent, Coach Clark said this is probably the most Division I recruits that he's had on his team at one time. You know, Deson Brain is, I think, number 5 tight end in the country right now or something like that, heading to Tennessee. They've got a 4-star offensive lineman, Max Robinson, that's going to go somewhere big. He's got all the big Power 5 offers. They've got a cornerback going to K-State. They've got an underclassman. Arius Finley is going to be a lot like Dylan Edwards, a super fast running back. And they got a new guy under center, Drew Kemp, transferred from Mays. If he can live up to, you know, kind of what he did at Mays whenever he was healthy, it's going to be a really good team.
Yeah, when you look at Northwest and Derby, I mean, both those teams are really, really, really good. I mean, talk a little about Northwest. Are they better than a Derby? Because I'll tell you what, you look at the players on that Northwest squad. I can tell you right now, they've got what, 3 guys that are going to be Division I commits, maybe up to 4. That is a talented football team and a team capable of winning a state championship. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, Northwest and I think Wichita East too, you know, in 6A, those are kind of the 3 big dogs around here. Mays is going to be great too, but I think that Northwest East and Derby are going to be the ones kind of competing of who's going to get that spot in the championship game. Northwest, this is the first year that Jalen Mason's going to get the reins, the junior quarterback. He was the backup to Avery Johnson his freshman year at Mays. He's at Northwest now. He's got an offer from KU and Iowa State, a really good dual threat quarterback. I think that his stock's going to rise a ton this year. You know, they've got John Michael Fountain, who's got a bunch of offers across the board. I think he's a 3-star defensive lineman. Obviously, a ton of talent, and then East has got it too. It really is kind of a hotbed there in Class 6A. There's going to be a lot of scouts watching these dudes on Friday nights.
And they got a, speaking of Northwest, they've got that big rivalry game with Carroll tonight, which will be one of the bigger fanfare games out there. I know one more, a little out of the metro, but a game that you love tonight is Great Bend and McPherson. Why do you love that one?
Great Bend is going to be awesome this year. I feel like that really it's kind of been rising more and more. Coach Aaron Beck got there a little bit ago. They've gotten better and better, and now they've got the number one player in the state in 2026. Ian Premer is a freak if you've not seen him play. Me and Brandon joke about on the Catch a Kansas show that we're going to rename it the Ian Premer Show because we've got our freelancers out there on Great Bend. He's on a highlight every single Friday. It doesn't matter what sport it is. He plays like 4 of them. But, you know, football obviously is a good one. He's got an offer from, you know, Michigan, Penn State, all the big ones, everything like that. Obviously got the in-states and everything too. He's a freak. He's going to be awesome. They're really kind of gelling together with a ton of talent around him. And Great Bend's really just growing in all sports. I think they're going to be awesome. McPherson, obviously, though, for people around here that watch them a lot more, Pab's got them every single year as a contender. They bring back a lot of big players, you know, Brody Seidel. They bring back their quarterback as well. A lot of talent there that they have every year, and it's just a great system. But Great Bend is one of the most talented teams, I think, this year.
It almost seems like a fever dream, real quick, TJ. It almost seems like a fever dream to me from a year ago that Cheney not only beat Andale once, but twice. And that, I mean, that's just insane to think about, that they were not only able to break that 57 game winning streak that Andale had, the longest in the nation, one time, but then beat them again in the playoffs. It really, to me, seems like, again, this year, those two teams are going to be the teams to beat in Class 3A. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I saw a stat the other day that somebody was breaking down Cheney's game tonight. They play Holcomb, who's a team that always competes in Class 3. Yeah, whenever I was in high school, they were always beating up on Frontenac and all the teams around back home. Holcomb's a great team. They're going to be at Cheney tonight. It will be a really great game. We'll have that one. But, you know, Shelby, the head coach there at Cheney, I saw his like winning percentage, and it's something just out the wazoo of all the success that they've had. And it really just kind of got overshadowed by how awesome Andale was during all those years. To see them kind of get to the mountaintop last year really shows you how awesome this system is. They play a really fun offensive scheme. They throw the heck out of the ball. They bring back their quarterback. Josh Burdick's going to be one of the names to watch for. And when I say they throw the heck out of the ball, you need to watch a game because they literally throw it about every single down, and they got a great quarterback there.
All right, TJ, so we've got CatchKansas.com covered. You guys have it covered. What do you guys have coming up throughout the day people can find on 12 News?
Yeah, I think that this will be, you know, one of the biggest years that we've had for Catch at Kansas coverage. We're going to have our Game of the Week live coverage starting 4:30, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 6:30. After the shows are over, if you're heading out to games, we're going to be live on the 12 News app. We're going to be live on the Catch at Kansas Facebook, I believe, of Brandon Zinner and I breaking down some of the biggest games as live coverage as we prepare for the games, as you prepare for the games to get you ready. That'll be a ton of fun. And then obviously the Catch at Kansas show starts at 10:35 over on the KSCW, a 30-minute high school sports show going through a ton of football. So it doesn't get much better than that.
I can't wait for it. It's going to be awesome. CatchKansas.com, 12 News, the place to go. They'll have you everywhere you need to be tonight in high school football. TJ, we appreciate it. Just a quick programming note there, Jad. We had had TJ and Brandon's picks backwards. So Brandon in our picks is in last place. TJ is 2 and 3. Jad has got a monumental task of trying to sort through the nonsense we spew there times 5 now to try to get those games in. TJ, good luck with coverage tonight. We'll be looking to Catch Kansas.
Absolutely. Thank you for righting my wrong. I'm going to make sure to wrong Brandon's right now.
There you go. We'll get them wrong. We'll get them wrong this week for sure. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Paul and Tommy are back, and we're going to get a little more in-depth perhaps with the two college teams this weekend, take you what we think on KU, K-State. You got our picks, but what are we looking for? More importantly, in the games this weekend, we'll do that next on Sports Daily.
Hey, I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Catch your breath yet? What a day. Fridays are always fun here on Sports Daily. Love it. We've made picks. We got you set up for high school football. Let's briefly go through some college football quickly, guys. Look, we talked about this with Fitz. We talked about it with the Trius. It's so hard to take anything away from the first week for me. Like, nothing. I take away that Jalen Daniels looked good, healthy, right? I don't think K-State showed us anything. We start with K-State. They play first, Tommy. I just don't think that was the K-State we can expect. So I don't want to overthink yet what we've seen and what we will see from them offensively.
I mean, maybe, yeah, you don't take a lot away from the offense, but I took a lot away from the K-State defense. I think there's a lot that you can
really
take
good,
away.
Right?
They're
yeah,
really good.
Yeah, and but here's what I mean by overthinking it.
They've been overlooked, I think, defensively.
The most common thing I've heard about K-State in the last 10 days or 9 days, whatever it's been, is, man, Avery Johnson, he didn't look very good. I'm like, guys, they're not letting him do anything still. And I think that's a mistake, by the way. I don't like that they did that. But we're not seeing full go Avery Johnson, let him loose to do his thing. We haven't seen that yet. And so that's why Paul, I'm like, just hang tight. Like, let them turn him loose. They have to this. They can't afford to play it, you know, holding things back. And do they do that? I know Fitzgerald, Tim, our K-State insider, thought maybe they might do a little more of that with Arizona, but I don't think they can afford to. They've been bitten by Tulane in that exact scenario before.
Well, that might be the case, but I can tell you right now, no coach wants, you know, you've got sort of an unknown quantity to other teams. And scouting's a big thing. You know, what do you do down and distance? How do you do? What play? I mean, what are you going to do? What's the play? What receivers will you look to go to? There's a lot of information that K-State doesn't want anybody to have right now, and I get that, and I understand that. But I'm kind of like you, Jacob. Listen, you may need to float some of those things that you want to do against Tulane. I got a feeling that the average fan's thinking to themselves, well, Tulane, they play in a dump. You know, they're in the AAC. They're not. I mean, who are these guys? I'm telling you, this is a better team than I think people think they are. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you're going to turn loose some stuff. You're going to turn out some information. You're going to give some information to Arizona. When they're coming up, you're just going to have to do it because Tulane is going to make you do things that you need to do. And I think that'd be good for Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson, and I'm one of those guys, by the way, says, hey, Avery Johnson didn't look that good. I'm with a lot of people. I mean, I was expecting more things than that. I was expecting more yards. So I'm just saying that this may be no choice.
I get it.
Turn him loose a little. You may have to, Jacob.
Just let him be himself. Tommy, KU, I'm starting to fall in love with KU in this game because I think for whatever reason, I think people are sleeping on what could be the top defense in the Big 12. And if Daniels is good to go, they can attack you a lot of different ways offensively.
Well, they've got ball hawks on defense, and those players have been around for a long time. You know, whether you're talking about Brian or Melo Dotson, you know, whoever, especially in that secondary. So that's, you know, that's definitely a highlight of that defense. From an offensive point of view, it's so funny because I get it. Like, Jalen Daniels, when healthy, is one of the best quarterbacks in the country, but he's not who I've been focused on. It really, even in week one, my takeaway wasn't anything about Jalen Daniels. It was about how great that running back room is. And I think people are sleeping on the running back room because everybody is so focused on wanting to see Jalen Daniels be Jalen Daniels and be that Heisman guy that everybody knows that he can be. And, oh, yeah, hey, they've got Devin Neal and Daniel Hyshaw, who are the best duo in the Big 12.
It's going to be weird. Like, there's a reputation with KU, Paul, that they are this high-flying, shootout-type team. But to me, I'm like, I don't think we're going to see – I think they want to run the ball to protect Jalen Daniels, and they actually have a good defense. I think people will learn real quick – I will disagree with our betting expert yesterday who said, if you like KU, maybe just take the over. I kind of think the opposite. I like KU and I kind of like the under. Let's see if that defense, because if the defense is as good as we think it might be, then they may play some lower scoring games. Because I agree. I think they want to run the ball, Paul.
I think you're exactly right. And it makes total sense to do that. Listen, every time Jaden Daniels gets out in space, you kind of go, oh, my God. You know, you think,
I don't want to see him get hit.
I don't want to see him get hit either. And every time he's in space, you go, oh, no, come on, get the ball out, you know, and that kind of thing. So with that being said, you're exactly right. The ability for KU to run the football is going to be big in this particular game, but it's going to be big for the season. KU's got to run the football. And when you can run the football, Tommy, it takes the pressure off of every other aspect of an offense. Every other aspect of the offense is different when you can run the football. So with that being said, I think you're exactly right. And of course, it just makes sense. Keep him healthy. You got to keep the kid healthy if you want to have that season that you think it's going to be.
By the way, in years past, this KU defense has been opportunistic, but not consistently good. They're opportunistic still. Yeah. And I think that they're consistently good too.
Yeah.
I think they're better, at least, yes. And
that's
look,
right.
Running the ball helps everybody, helps the offense and the defense. Speaking of K-State, you can hear that game. You wake up early with the Cats tomorrow, 9 a.m. pregame coverage right here on KFH. We have a wildly busy weekend here across the network, so we're going to tell you all about it as we wrap up this Big Friday edition of Sports Daily.